Hi, Sander. How are you? And before you tell me, I just want to say, Sander Flom and Michelle Flom have written a book, Boost Your Career, How to Make an Impact, Get Recognized, and Build the Career You Want, which is available online at Amazon.com. And it is my recommendation that you get the book. Now, I will say, hi, Sander, how are you? And well, then...
That's very kind of you. Thank you, Jill, for saying those nice things about the book. It's doing very well, by the way. I'm fine.
All right. So then, since you're fine, our topic today is how does one deal with difficult personalities, which I'm sure none of our listeners have encountered.
Sure. Well, this is a very interesting topic. There's so many books that have been written about it, so many articles have been written about it, and we all have different views, you know, as to how to do it. First of all, let's go through a couple of them. One of them, we'll talk about some of my experiences as a CEO, but there's a very interesting piece that was written called Managing and Motivating the 7 Most Challenging Employee Types by Cal Butera, a good writer, a good consultant out of, and he wrote this for business management. Okay. The first one is but he or she is one of my top performers. Managers may fear productivity would drop and the work will be difficult to replace. Perhaps the employee has a special technical skills or valuable institutional knowledge. None of these are good reasons to tolerate unprofessional behavior. So we're talking about reasons that managers have to put up with such behaviors. Well, there are 3 people that I had some real challenges with. A woman and 2 men. The woman was my biggest issue. She was a great creative writer, brilliant writer, could not work with anyone and spoke behind everybody's back. I mean, she was totally disliked. The second one was a high-ranking person. He handled one of the biggest clients we had, Bristol-Myers. The Bristol-Myers people really loved what he did. But the people under him hated him. They really hated him. The third one was a creative director who could not take any critique at all. No criticism whatsoever. He just went wild with any criticism. Finally, I had to pay a recruiter to get him out of there. That was the challenge because he wasn't going to leave on his own. So we got him out. So let's get back to the 4 reasons that managers have to put up with some shit. So the first one. As we discussed, their top performers, and we went through the 3 of them. 2, it's not worth the conflict. Management, when executed correctly, involves plenty of face-to-face meetings. But if those interactions are not handled correctly, both sides walk away feeling satisfied. Managers can always seek advice from human resources, and they should, before initially bringing up the issue to the employee. So you either, hopefully you have a smart human resources person or group to consult with, or you get a coach, you get a smart coach to bounce this off and get some advice from the coach as to really how to deal with it. 3, maybe... he or she will change, but my advice is don't count on it. These people basically do not change. It's really the A's who change because they want to become A plus. But these people, they won't change. There's a psychological thing with them right here. So be sure your managers use human resources as a partner to point out the employee's errors and deliver the appropriate warnings. Very important that they understand that they are disturbing the company. They are turning people off, and people are leaving under them because of them. Not leaving under him as well, but they're also, their colleagues are leaving because of them. They just don't want to be in the same room with them. Very important. His or her skills are worth the headaches. So our advice is, don't look at this person's poor behavior in a vacuum. While he or she, still may be productive, it's quite likely an employee's obnoxious behavior is pulling down the morale and performance of coworkers. Always happens that way. So don't cling to the notion any employee is too talented to be disciplined or even fired. I have to disagree with that. I really do. I spoke to the Bristol-Myers people about this one person higher up within the organization, and they insisted that he stay on the business. They know he's difficult, but when it comes to client work, when it comes to making that client look good, he was excellent. He was really excellent. The only time it was really bad when he came back to the agency and drove everybody crazy. But I spoke to the clients. They really wanted him on the account. Couldn't hire him. It was much too much money at stake. The creative woman, she was a whole other issue. This is a woman who spoke behind people's back, put people down horribly, spoke to one of her other people there who I did not like, but he was a very good creative writer. And they got together with human resources to push one of the good, really good people out of the firm. I found out about it afterwards. He was a little bit lower, so that I wasn't consulted. Okay, so difficult employees, always tough to work with. So here are some tips for supervising difficult employees. Focus on what you want to happen, not on how you feel. The emotional response will kick in first, but the trick is don't act on it. Your anger will not work, neither does theirs. So showing anger with them really doesn't work because they get angry and upset with you. And the last thing you want, given the fact that our clients like them a lot, you don't want them walking out the door. Okay? To be assertive. Don't expect an employee, an angry one, to read your mind. Let him or her know when you're annoyed, upset, or disappointed, but you have to do it in a very, very tactful way. You have to just move up the ladder, a lot of deep breaths, and handle it, okay? Remember, it's always, as we discussed before, you have to get the best out of everyone. Give and request frequent feedback. Don't stew over what an employee may be thinking. Please ask the employee, what are you thinking, okay? Let them open up to you. What are they thinking? Then you can respond appropriately. Next, model the type of behavior you want. Exhibit, the kind of upbeat, forward-looking professionalism you expect from your staff. And it's okay to talk to them about attitude. Rehearse the talk, but attitude is very, very critical. And again, you're talking to difficult employees, and their job, obviously, is to make the company look good. You have to focus on that. Okay. Deal directly with them and discreetly. Choose face-to-face talks in private to discuss an employee's attitude or behavior. Not easy, because you have to be the leader. You have to control yourself. It's going to get you upset, obviously. The conversation definitely will get you upset when you hear the way he or she speaks to you. You just have to put that slight Bill Clinton smile on your face, handle it. Next, of course, always document. Keep a record of all communications to prevent lies or faulty recollections from taking over later. Keep the documentation. You can either have a small tape recorder under your file, in your pocket, near your pocketbook, whatever, but keep the communications there. And the last one, of course, is be gracious, as difficult as it is, but that's what leaders are, and that's what the show is about. Be gracious. Someone's rudeness doesn't give you the right to respond in kind. You just have to keep your mouth shut, keep that slight smile on your face, and remember who you are, okay? Let it go by. Remember who you are. You are the leader, and that's not the way leaders act. So don't, you know, the rudeness doesn't give you the right to respond in kind. Not if you really want to lead. Challenging, tough, but that's the deal. Okay. So we talked a little bit about that show. Not easy.
No, but you have to do it. And as you say, it's what separates leadership from not. And I think nothing bad would happen if people spent a little more time on that, took their cues from, let's just say, proper leaders rather than from wannabes.
Absolutely. It's important. Look, we all have them, okay? We all have had them under us, right? Working for us. The key thing is, you know, what's good for the firm? What's good, you know, what's good for the firm? They may real upset other people. You have to speak to them about that. But the key thing is, of course, as difficult as it is, clients, if they like them and they're paying you a lot of money, you have to find a way to keep them in the firm, but do it so they don't disrupt and harm other people. Very important, Jill.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flaum, Leader's Edge.